You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Get the facts in a white paper called How to Protect Your Retirement and Bank Accounts from Government Seizure. Transfer your 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver and take possession with no tax liability. Call Landmark Capital at 844-715-7311. That's 844-715-7311 or landmarkgold.com.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been forced to take new measures against radical Palestinians in response to stabbing attacks that killed two and wounded three other Israelis over the weekend. John Clemens reports.
Immediately after returning to Israel from a speech in New York, Mr. Netanyahu closed off Jerusalem's Old City in what he called a war to death against terrorism. The stabbing attacks on Sunday followed Saturday's attack on a family by a Palestinian that left the father dead and his wife and toddler son wounded. Israeli police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld said the restrictions on the access to Jerusalem's Old City were imposed for the safety of everyone.
This is a drastic measure that's being taken in order to make sure that no further attacks during the Jewish festival, where you can see thousands of people are visiting the Old City.
I'm John Clemens.
It's the first Monday of October, and U.S. Supreme Court justices are back on the job. Over the next 8 months, the High Court may decide the fate of President Obama's executive actions on immigration. Justices may also decide to hear another challenge to the Affordable Care Act. The case involves the federal mandate on coverage for birth control. Another closely watched case involves efforts by some states to restrict abortions. The Oregon Community College, hit by tragedy when a gunman opened fire on campus, has reopened today. But classes at the campus at Umpqua Community College are not in session. Many gathered yesterday for a prayer service to remember the nine people killed in the shooting. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The weather today is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 66. Northeast winds around 8 miles per hour. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 45 with calm winds. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 72. Can't wait for that. Calm winds becoming north around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 48. North winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Wednesday will be sunny with a high near 73. Northwest winds 5 to 9 miles an hour. And Wednesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 48. Good afternoon. This is NAMI's Hour, courtesy of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. This is the show Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright. And we are very fortunate today to have with us a young man, Ryan Amon. Am I saying that correctly?
It's Amon.
Amon. Okay.
Close enough.
Well, I want to be correct. but anyway, NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every state in New Jersey, every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas, plus Canada. What we try to do is help people who have a mental health issue. We try to help families by teaching a 12-week course that tries to enlighten them a little bit more about what their relative who may have a mental health issue or a friend, whoever it may be, is going through and what they can do to help and what not to do. We run support groups. We have courses called Educating the Educators, where we try to teach the teachers what to look out for in case they have someone in their class who may have a problem. And it's all free. Everything we do is free. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We work out of our houses, and we have no paid staff. If you need to get a hold of someone at NAMI in Hunterdon County anyway, it would be 908-284-0500. That's 284-0500. And like I said, it's we have a very special guest today. I happen to know his mom. And I met Ryan through his mom. But I'm very happy that you're here today, and I appreciate you coming and speaking about, you know, your issues and so on and so forth. And
I mean, thanks so much for having me, Larry. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to this is my first time on radio, so I'm excited to see what it's all about.
Well, not only that, but you're going all over because it's on the internet.
I'm excited. Let's do it, man.
So, all right. Would you speak first about your experience with your bipolar?
Definitely. My first experience with bipolar, I was at University of Maryland about 3 years ago, my freshman year, and I got shingles.
Okay.
And it was, you know, very rare for someone my age to get shingles.
Exactly.
Very unexpected. I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't really know what was happening to me at the time.
And they hurt like the devil,
and
too, don't
it
they?
It hurt so badly. And medicine doesn't really help. At least for me, it didn't. I had like gabapentin, which is supposed to be like an anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. Capesian cream, which is like a pepper that you rub on the rash.
Right.
That's supposed to like counteract the feeling.
Right.
And nothing really helped. And I sort of always had this really bad pain, and it didn't really ever go away, you know, during that period while I was at Maryland. So I had to come home because I was going through so much at Maryland. I had to withdraw from school, and I took a semester off, and that's when I started to write my book. And that's like my crowning achievement of my life so far, is this book that I wrote. And shingles eventually went away, luckily, and I just, it hasn't come back. I've been very fortunate.
It's, you know, I know people who have had shingles, and it is definitely not something that anybody wants. You know,
it's brutal.
It is definitely brutal. I have never had it. Nobody in my family's ever had it, but I do know people, friends of ours and such, who have had it and have had it for quite a while. Sometimes it lasts longer in other people than others, and, you know, vice versa.
And you get postherpetic neuralgia, which is like the secondary stage to it.
Yeah.
I had that briefly, but I was very lucky because mine went away relatively quickly.
Well, you were lucky, you know, because like I said, I know people who've had it and had it for quite a while, you know.
Right.
Did at this point when you had the shingles, did that bring on the bipolar episodes or?
The bipolar like came from the shingles almost.
Right. Okay.
And they think it awoke like a precondition that I had, bipolar.
Right.
Which makes a lot of sense. It's pretty intuitive that like if you have bipolar, it can sort of come out as a result of something else.
Sure.
And that's exactly what happened. And I was prone to fits of rage, and I sometimes would just lay in my bed all day. I wouldn't get up. My family would come in my room, try to talk to me, and I was just very resistant. And I was just, it was a really terrible stage of my life, and it was very hard to like get through to me because I was paranoid, and I thought people were coming after me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, I had a lot going on, had everything going on, everything you can imagine. And
how old were you at that point?
I was 20 or 21.
Okay.
I think I was 20 when the worst of it was going on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. My youngest son has schizophrenia, and it hit him when he was, well, I say 19, my wife says 20, but you know, men and women don't always agree on everything. I wonder why, but, but it's either way, it would say it was 20. I mean, I don't, you know, it was around right around that time, but doing a, you know, having been involved with NAMI for 18, 19 years doing a lot of research on not only schizophrenia, but all bipolar, depression, etc. You find out that in a lot of cases, the medical diagnostic evaluations and stuff are saying that it's a chemical imbalance of the brain. And it needs a trigger in many cases to set it off. And in your case, it could have been the shingles.
Definitely.
Sometimes it's a car accident. Sometimes it's breaking up with a girlfriend. Sometimes it's
could be anything.
Could be anything. You know, any kind of tragic or, you know, experiment that you have in your life could set it off. There's people who have it and never have it set off, you know, and that's the way it is. But a lot of times it takes something. Like I said, a loss of a job, break up with your girlfriend, you know, that sort of thing. Traumatic experience to set it off. And shingles, I could understand, you know, being a trigger to set off, you know.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, and it's certainly not, no mental health issue, I don't care what it is easy to get through. They're all hard. You know, and a lot of times, I want to say it's Demi Lovato, the singer, the female singer.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, but I just know that she said she stayed up 3-4 days at a time all night long and wrote songs and thought that was totally normal, never sleeping, you know. And then she'd crash, and
wow.
Then, you know, and then she'd wake up, and then she'd go for another 3-4 days and write songs again. Now she's under treatment. She has, you know, she takes meds, and she's, you know, treated, and she speaks out for mental health issues for people.
What was she diagnosed with?
Bipolar and severe depression. So
that mine was manic depressive disorder and bipolar.
Right. Yeah. It's you know.
So I feel her pain.
Oh yeah,
I know what she's going
absolutely,
through.
Absolutely. You know, and at least you know, she recognized it after a while and got help, and now she's trying to help other people. You know, which is great, because I think more people who speak to the issue, you know, and I know often when my son was younger, when he first had his first episode. He was coming home from, he had to take some courses in Raritan Valley College before he could go to, you know, a full 4-year school.
Okay.
And he came home on Christmas. Well, call him, he lived home, but he was home at Christmas on a break.
Home for break, right?
Yeah. And I was going to do some painting. And at that time, most everything was oil paint. So I had bought a 2-gallon can of turpentine. Well, he came home and drank it. I don't know if you ever smelled turpentine.
I cannot believe anyone would drink that. That is crazy.
And he drank it. And the doctors were totally amazed.
How much did he drink?
The whole thing. The whole 2 gallons.
2 gallons?
And he didn't burn. The doctors were amazed he didn't burn his insides out.
He's lucky he didn't.
Well, yeah. They were, you know. So he was in a hospital in the medical center for, I don't know, 3-4 days, 5 days, whatever it was. He came home. And he was home for 2 days and he attempted suicide again. He then went to Carrier for 28 days till my insurance ran out. They transferred him to Trenton Psych. He was there for almost 20 months. They transferred him to Hagedorn, where he was there for 11 months. And when he got out of Hagedorn, he was in and out more times than we care to remember. But it's just, you know, to see sometimes what the mental illness takes away from people, you know. All right, he right now has his own apartment in Flemington.
He's doing good.
And he's doing good. He's been epileptic since he's 5, so he always takes meds. He's been taking meds most of his life.
So he's used to it. I find with me, when I started taking medicine, I'm on a couple right now. It was really difficult at first, especially just like the swallowing of the medicine. It was like a really, you know, it was uncomfortable and I wasn't used to it. But now, you know, a year and a half later, it's a really easy process for me. I just wake up, I take my medicine, I take it before I go to sleep, and that's that. It's simple.
And it's wonderful that you do. Yeah. I have to say that because I know many people.
I'm so diligent with my medicine. You will never find me missing a day.
You know, I know many people who stop taking it. You know, oh, I feel good now. I don't have to take it
anymore. They think it's either they think it's not working or they think they're all better.
Well, yeah, because, you know, a lot of times they feel better because they're taking a medication, but they're not realizing that they feel better because they're taking the medication.
They don't put two and two together.
And they don't put two and two together. And this is why I'm saying the mental illness, in a lot of cases, takes away cognitive thinking. You know, where the average person like yourself would say, well, gee, this is making me feel better. I got to continue to take it. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. And I know when we teach classes, and I know I teach a class that family to family, the 12-week course, I often say to the class, you ever had the flu? Everybody, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the doctor? Oh, yeah. He give you an antibiotic? Yeah. He tell you to take it for 10 days? Yeah. How many of you take it for 10 days? Three quarters of the people
hands go
no.
Down.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, well, I feel better after five, you know. But that's not the point. The point is you're supposed to take it for 10 days, you know.
It's very important.
Right,
the way
to
it
cleanse
like
your
runs,
system out.
The course it runs through your body.
Right.
You have to take it for the allotment of time.
Right. And, you know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of people don't do that. And I'm very pleased that you do because it's, it can only help you, you know, and it can, you know, you can go on with your life. You know, it's just this was a bump in the road and you go on with your life and, you know, do whatever you want to do. And so it's pretty awesome.
Now that the bipolar is really under control, it's easy for me to attain a job. Like I'm working a job, I'm working at Home Depot, I'm going back to school, I'm at Rutgers. So it's really a success story in that I'm able to function in daily life, which
Absolutely.
Is all I really wanted.
Right.
You know, I wasn't asking too much. I just wanted to be able to function in the way that I thought was best and be comfortable with the way I was.
Sure.
And
Absolutely.
It's been a journey, but I mean, I'm definitely very happy with where I'm at. And a lot of it is to do with the medicine.
Right.
I give a lot of the credit to the medicine.
Right. Exactly. Obviously, you must have had some difficult times dealing with the illness.
Definitely. I was hospitalized a few times, you know, for a couple weeks in Huntington Medical Center. I went to Carrier for 16 days. So I had my share of hospitalizations as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, my son was like almost 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's like unprecedented. That's crazy.
But he was so paranoid and, you know.
But he has his own place now? And
oh, yeah, he has his own apartment. He has a part-time job at BJ's.
Perfect.
He volunteers one day a week now. He used to volunteer 4 days a week at the hospital, but he volunteers one day a week now on Mondays at the hospital. And, you know, he takes his medicine religiously. And, you know, he's doing well, you know. And it's, I can't tell you, he's come a long, long way over from the initial start till the present.
Right.
And it's like I said, I when I met you with your mom that time, and I just thought that it would be awesome to have you here and talk about your experience because.
Definitely.
You know, if you can help one person, that's what it's all about. You know,
honestly, that's my life goal is to just help people in any way that I can.
And, you know, like I said, if you can get, well, even here on the show, if you can get through to one person out there listening, and it doesn't have to be in New Jersey because this is the internet, it goes all over. You know, we have gotten emails from Switzerland and New Zealand and
so cool,
just about every state in the union. So, you know, it you can reach people that you may never see or meet, but, you know, they can listen and they can hear, you know, a success story. And basically right now that's what you are, a success story. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really great.
Let me ask you, do you still have days that are difficult?
Absolutely. You know, but I'm getting much better at working with myself and being able to diagnose the signs.
Okay.
Once I start to not feel well, I say I'm not feeling well, and that's like a cue. Like my mom knows what it means. My family knows what it means. I start to sort of become not myself, and I get a little more paranoid, a little more on edge. And that when that happens, that's a sign for me to like rein it in, really take my life slow. And the best thing for me has honestly been I treat everyone like they're my family.
Okay.
Because my big issue was paranoia. So I was worried that everyone around me was thinking bad things about me or trying to take advantage of me or doing something bad.
Right.
And now it's like I look at people as if they're my family and I talk to them that way. And it really, it changes the way that I see things. It changes the way that I feel. And it's really been beneficial to me. And I just figured it out, you know, 2 months ago or something, that if I treat everyone like they're my family, things really become easier and life just becomes easier and I don't feel paranoid.
Well, that's awesome. That really is. It, you know, and it's, I think it's wonderful that someone as, I want to say as young as you, because compared to
go
me,
right
you're
I'm pretty young. I understand.
Well, I'm pretty old, so it's, you know, but, you know, I think it's awesome that you realize and, you know, process these feelings and stuff that you have and, you know, how to do it.
I had, you know, I had some of the most, what's the right word? I had some of the most in-depth understanding of myself while going through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors were like, it's unbelievable how you can explain so much about what you're thinking and about what you're feeling. And I just take it as, I'm just grateful because I was really lucky to be able to explain things the way I was able to.
Right.
I don't know what caused it or, you know, for what reason. I think I was just born that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it made things a lot easier because doctors would clearly understand what I was going through. And, you know, it was just so much easier to go through what I went through, being able to explain how I was feeling. So for everyone out there, I would just say, be really open and explain things as best as you can, because a little explanation, just a little extra explanation, can make such a big difference when being diagnosed or being sent to a treatment center, any sort of help. It makes a huge difference.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times I've noticed from, well, I knew from my own son, because I was, my wife and I witnessed it at Hagedorn one time. And a lot of times people will tell the psychiatrist or the therapist or the social worker what they think they want to hear.
Yes.
And we were in a meeting, a family meeting, with my son, my wife and I, a psychiatrist, a therapist, and a social worker. And the psychiatrist was a woman from, I believe, Germany, but I wouldn't swear to it, but I believe it was Germany. And she was asking my son questions, and he would answer it the way he thought she wanted to hear it. And this went on for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden she slams her hand down on the table.
Whoa.
And she says, I'm going to tell you something. She says, do you ever want to get out of here? And my son says, yeah, really? She says, well, I'm the one that signs your release to get out. She says, if you don't want to have a beard down to your toes before you get out of here,
whoa,
you better stop lying.
She told him.
Oh, she just laid it out. And I went, like, I look at my wife. My eyes were like
laying down the hammer.
Yeah. And she says, this is not getting you anywhere. This is not helping you.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth, not what you think I want to hear, because I can tell when you're lying.
What? Why do you think he was telling her what she wanted to hear? Was
I
it
think
like
because,
fear? Or?
No, I think it was more like if he told her what she wanted to hear, he'd get out.
Oh, that's what he was
you
thinking?
Know, yeah, I believe. Yeah. You know, but whatever it was, she put a stop to it, and he then did a complete turnaround and started.
Those workers, I just have to say, those therapists and social workers, psychologists, they are the greatest because they're so patient and they're just really like giving. They give everything and they don't expect much in return.
Right.
And it's not that rewarding, I would think,
no,
to work that sort of job. Like, you're not getting paid huge money or anything like that. You're there just to help these people, and it's such an admirable job.
And, you know, the sad part is in Hunterdon County.
Right.
With the population and everything, we should have 34 psychiatrists. We have 9.
Oh, my God.
So if someone comes out of the hospital like Greystone or Trenton Psych or whatever, and they have to come back to Hunterdon County, it could be 3-4 weeks before they see a psychiatrist. And that's unbelievable. That's unheard of. I mean, you know, you just spent time in a hospital and you want to get to, you know, a program or whatever right away, as soon as possible. You don't want to wait 2-3 weeks. But unfortunately, because we don't have a lot of psychiatrists, we're supposed to have 34. We got 9 in the county. You know, it's just so sad, you know. And but, you know, it's just, you know, I don't want to get off track, but that's, you know, basically what it is. And it's sad because people don't get the help they need because they don't have enough people to help them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, sure.
And it's, you know. Do you, I assume, like, you still have difficulties dealing with your illness, I mean, at times, even though you're doing well.
There's times. I've come up with ways to cope, but there are times.
How do you cope, if I can ask?
Well, like I said earlier, the, like, treating everyone like they're my family, that's okay. Big for me.
Okay.
That's really big for me. Aside from that, I'm able to recognize when I'm not feeling well, which is really important, because I can remove myself from a situation and I can just go home and lay in bed or, you know, lay in a dark room, do what I have to do until it passes. And it usually passes. It doesn't usually stay for an inert amount of time. It's usually within a day or two, it'll sort of fade and I'll be back to normal.
Okay.
So I'm lucky in that way. But yeah, I sort of just, I know when I'm not feeling well and I do what I need to do to take myself out of the situation and make myself feel better.
That's awesome. That really is. It really is.
Because, I'm lucky.
Well, I mean, you can say you're lucky, but you're also on top of your situation and trying to...
Always have been.
Yeah, and trying to correct it the most proper way. And I think that's awesome, you know. With that, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Good evening, this is Dr. Block and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Heidi & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And we are very fortunate today to have Ryan Amon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There you go. You got it, Larry.
It's like the end of a prayer. Amen, right?
Exactly. Or you're aiming the gun.
Yeah, or you're aiming the gun. Okay, yeah, that works too. I have to give a quick weather forecast. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 66, northeast winds around 8 miles an hour. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low around 45 and calm winds. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 72, calm winds becoming north around 5 miles an hour. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 48, north winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Now, you had mentioned earlier, and forgive me because I'm getting older, my memory isn't what it used to be, but you had said about...
No sweat, Larry.
You had said about writing a book.
Correct.
Now, you wrote it when you were in crisis or...
I wrote it while I was in crisis.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did you get an idea for a book while you were in crisis? I just find that interesting.
Well, I started to write a little bit. I would write like a paragraph, a page about spiritual things and things that I was thinking, things that I was feeling.
Okay.
And it sort of metamorphed into this bigger project. And my mom was like, you should write a book. I had always wanted to write a book. I love writing. I love English. I've been a very strong writer since I was young. So that was something I always wanted to do. And when I started to write it, it just flowed naturally and it turned into a pretty interesting product.
What is the name of the book?
It's called Spiritual Warrior, A 20-Year-Old's Guide to Human Evolution. And if you want to buy it, you can, the easiest way is to message me on Facebook. My last name is Amon, A-M-A-N-N. And it's Ryan Amon. You could just message me and I'll be able to send you a copy directly. And
that's awesome.
I have hardcover and paperback.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And you were how old when you wrote this?
I was 20 when I wrote it.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you ought to think about writing another one.
I am. I am right now. I'm in the middle of one.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Awesome. What is it about, if I may ask?
The second one is a novel, and it's sort of like a... Do you know Stephen King?
Yes. Oh, well, of course.
Everyone does, right?
Of course.
It's a Stephen King-esque kind of alien... Aliens come down and like infiltrate this small town in Wisconsin. And
better in Wisconsin than in New Jersey, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Rather than be there. Yeah. It's like 125 pages in words so far, which would be about 350 if I were to put it into a book.
Okay.
So it's getting there. And I'm nearing the end. I just have to figure out how to end it. I'm not really sure how to do it.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that is so cool. You know, because, you know, that could be a future that you might have.
It's something I
author,
definitely,
you know
I would
what I'm
love
saying?
It, man. You know, I would be blessed. I would love it.
You know, because it seems like
you know, you have the talent for it, it seems like, you know, so, you know, it's just, I think it's just wonderful. And I think it's great that you have the support of your family for in writing these things, like your mom and everything.
Definitely.
You,
right? You know, they definitely have my back. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. Absolutely. But, you know, you may have said this, we have mentioned it in speaking, but are there still things you do daily to keep you on track, you know, like, or not?
Well, I definitely try to stay as healthy as I can, because okay. when I eat really healthy, it makes me feel much better than if I eat like cheeseburgers and pizza and ice cream.
Yeah, I love pizza and ice cream and cheeseburgers, but I know what you mean.
No offense to
no, not at all. I don't know if you know it or not, but I was last Monday, I was released from the hospital. I was in the hospital for 10 days. And
that's a long time. What happened?
Oh, well, it's a long story. But let's just say while I was in there, they had me on a diabetic diet and I lost weight, which is great. But now I'm trying to keep, you know, vegetables and, you know, portions.
Keep
lower.
It as part of your diet.
Yeah, keep it as right. part of the diet. And I also go to the gym, so
there
they
you
told
go,
me
Larry.
I can go back to the gym.
Benching 250?
No, I don't do any of that. I do a lot. I had a trainer give me machines because I have both my knees replaced, so there's certain things I can't do. But, you know, she gave me like 6 or 7 things to do one day, then the next day 6 or 7 other things to do, which isn't...
You do them all or do you skip
out
a little
bit? No, you do one set, and then the next day you do the other set. You don't do them all at the same time.
Oh, I got you.
So it's, you know, it's interesting, but, I could go back. I went back the first day. I think I went back was Thursday or Friday this, you know, after I got out last Monday. So the Thursday or Friday I went, but, yeah, it's, and they told me, you know, take it easy. You know, if you can't, you won't be able to do everything you used to be able to do. So if you can only do 3 of the, the machines, only do 3 and stop, you know? So that's what I've been doing. They said eventually you'll get back up to where you were. So I ride the bike. I used to do like 5-6 miles. I got up to 2, so I figured that's good.
Progress.
Progress. You know, I'll get back up to 5
you'll
or
get
6.
There.
Yeah, eventually. But
you go on the on a real bike or you just do the stationary bike?
The stationary one at the gym.
Yeah, those are good. You can change the resistance and make it more difficult.
Yeah, I'm up to, I don't know, level 9 or something. But
there you go.
So anyway.
That's what I usually do it on level 9.
Do you? Yeah. Well, but it's just, you know, it's just something that, you know, you got to try to do. And so I've been trying to do that to, you know, because I'm happy that I lost
weight. I do the same thing. Like lifting is a huge part of my life.
You lift weights.
I lift weights.
Okay.
A couple days a week.
Okay.
And I play hockey also, which is something that's been a great, you know, like base for me.
Where do you play hockey?
Right now,
just out of curious.
I used to play at the rink in Aspen, which is like 5 minutes from where we are right now.
Okay.
And now I'm playing at Pro Tech in Somerset.
Oh, all right. I've heard of it. I don't know exactly where it is, but
yeah. It's sort of off the beaten path. It's right off of Easton Ave.
Oh, okay. I know where Easton Avenue is. Okay.
Yeah. Everyone does.
Yeah, just about, right? You feel like you can help others with mental health issues.
Definitely.
What do you feel like you can do to help them?
I feel the best avenue for me is my writing because it is so strong and it's easy for me to say something in writing and have it click for people when they read it. And it's more easy for me to write about something than it is to speak about something. Although I think I could speak, I kind of want to be a public speaker at some point in my life.
Okay.
So I could speak too, but the writing part right now is what's strongest and I have a way of writing things that make it easy to understand. I don't write, you know, some people write just to confuse people, like some New York Times articles.
Oh, yeah.
They write and it's just, you know, it seems like they're just trying to confuse you.
Right, right.
It's so, my writing is so different. My writing is just to make it easier to understand.
And I assume that you want to do this, even public speaking, to help others who have mental health issues.
I will definitely use my bipolar as a platform and speak on it. And sure, I would love to help people with mental illness.
Now, I don't know if I asked this or not. Like I said, I'm getting old and my mind isn't what it used to be.
You're doing great.
But
Thank you. But with your bipolar, do you have depression with it?
The only time I was ever really depressed is when I was like in the thick of it. Okay. And I couldn't really figure out how to right the ship, and I couldn't figure out how to like fix myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of when I was depressed.
Okay.
Aside from that, I haven't really had any depressive episodes.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people with bipolar are also depressed.
Right.
You know, and with bipolar, a lot of times they'll have real highs and then they'll crash and have real lows for, you know, a period of time. And
manic.
Yeah. They go manic and then they go, you know, real down and, you know.
I was manic at one point, but I never really was depressed for any, like, period of time.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cruel, actually, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because if you are, if you're suffering from both, then it's like, you know, how much more can you handle, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's bad enough with one, but then, yeah, now you got two, you know. So, but, you know, I think it's... So by writing, you feel you can help people, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're writing a novel pretty much right now.
Correct.
Okay. Now, down the road, are you going to try to write things about mental health issues that may help people or...
I think once I'm a little more far removed from what I'm going through,
okay,
it'll be sort of easier to reflect. Because right now I'm sort of not still going through it, but I still, it's in the rearview mirror and it's right there. And being able to reflect on it from a ways away, I feel like it would be a lot easier with regards to writing about it. But I definitely will in the future, yeah.
You know, in most cases, it's something that will be with you pretty much your entire life. It may not be, you know, what's the word? It may not be as dominant as it was, but it will be. You know, like my son is doing very well, but he still has schizophrenia, you know.
Right.
And most people who are, you know, have any kind of mental health issue, they'll have it
right
pretty much their life.
Definitely.
And it's just a matter of, you know, how to deal with it. And, you know, I know someone who is a doctor, and she's in Long Island, and she's written books and, you know, so on and so forth, and she has patients that she deals with, usually young to middle-aged. And she suffers from depression. She's been hospitalized a couple times. So when she's talking to her patients, she's talking from experience. You know, it's
that's
not
valuable.
Like, yeah, it is, very. And she's very nice. She's been on the show a couple times, you know. And but my point is that although she got it when she's 19, I believe, 18, 19. And she's, you know, not, I wouldn't say well into her age now, but she's, say, middle-aged. And she still has it, you know. So consequently,
of course,
it's not going to go away.
It's not going to go away.
Right. And, you know, but she deals with it. And, you know, she also has many good days, but every now and then she has a bad day, you know, which I think most people with any kind of mental health issues do.
I think the important thing, because you're right, like, this doesn't really ever go away. It's something you're maybe born with that you definitely have forever. The important part is to learn how to deal with it and
absolutely
coping strategies and, you know, anything you can do to sort of deal with it on a daily basis.
Right.
Is what you need to, like, develop those skills.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I just want to throw out that medicine is great. You know, it helps. Okay?
Definitely.
There are some people who don't take medicine, who have bipolar, depression, whatever. I'm thinking of one in particular, a young lady in California. And we were on the phone together on the radio. And she says, well, I don't take medication. I said, okay, what do you do? You know? She says, well, I'm into holistic
healing.
Healing, and I run. She says
she runs.
I run 4 or 5 miles a day.
Wow, that's a lot.
And I said, and it's working for you? And she says, yeah. I said, well, keep it up. She said, well, you're not going to tell me to take my... I says, no, I'm not a doctor. You know, well, it works for you. Do what works.
Yeah.
You know, I says, just understand that down the road, maybe one day you might have to take a med to supplement your holistic and your running. But right now, you run, you do holistic stuff, and it's working. Keep it up. You got to do what works. You know, not all people do the same thing, you know, for their illness. And like you said, you know, some people exercise, some people do this, some people do that, you know, but whatever works. And in your case, if you're, you know, taking your meds in the morning and night and that works, then fine, you keep it up, you know.
I'm not changing a thing.
No.
It's working.
You know, it's working. As long as it works, you do it, you know.
Yep.
So consequently, you know, like I said to her, you know, I says, fine, you know, keep it up. Don't take meds. It's, you know, it's doing good for you, whatever you're doing.
Right.
So why change it? You
right.
know, why put yourself at a risk to, you know, have a crash? So I said, but just like I said, maybe down the road.
Supplement.
You might have to supplement it with something, you know, as you get older and your body changes and all that jazz. So, you know, but she says, I'm surprised because most people say, well, you got to take medicine. I said, no, you know, like I said, I'm not a doctor.
Larry's not like that. Larry's not about to say you have to do this.
No,
you have to do that.
You do what works for you.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is, that's what you do, you know. So I think it's, you know, kind of interesting, you know. I did want to ask, I skipped over one that I wanted to ask and I should have asked it earlier. Your early life, before you had the illness come about.
Right.
How was it? Was it, you know, were you feeling anything different or?
It was, I mean, it was great. My early life was incredible. I never really had any signs of bipolar before I was like suddenly stricken with it.
Okay.
Like when I was younger, it never came out. I was just like a really healthy, normal boy who loved sports, who had a lot of friends, like always had girlfriends. I never really had, there was never an inkling that I would have bipolar. It never showed up.
Okay.
Although my uncle is bipolar, like severely bipolar.
Okay.
So we're thinking I got his genes and genetically I, you know, became bipolar because he was.
Well, usually the medical profession, quote unquote, says that in most cases, in better than 95% of the cases of people with mental health issues,
wow,
they can trace back family history
somewhere.
That
definitely,
somewhere
I think,
has it.
And that's, you know, that's what all the doctors that I saw during that time period of my life, they all found it very interesting that my uncle had bipolar.
Right.
They all seemed to think that was like a big clue that was the reason I had bipolar.
Right, right. And, you know, it's like they feel like, it, you know, it may not be, it may be a great-grandmother or, you know, back, but it somewhere back in your history, in your ancestry,
right,
there is someone that had it, and they feel that that creates the genes that bring it on, you know.
Exactly. And like I said, like when I was younger, I never had any signs of bipolar. I was a very healthy, normal child.
Right.
So it was strange that I got it, but that I, you know, was diagnosed with it. But
right,
we think it is because of my family history. And it's not just, you know, my uncle. It's like a cousin had mental illness.
Right.
So
right,
down the line, there were a couple instances. And we
sure
think that's why I was
absolutely
diagnosed.
And, you know, it's funny because we, in my family, I don't know other than my mother, okay? Her family.
What did your mother had?
No, I, you know, she didn't, as far as we know.
Oh, okay.
And but I don't know anything about her other family, you know, like her parents or grandparents or whatever. And, you know, we don't know on my wife's side how far there are. She had an aunt that had some problems. So it could be that, you know, but
Who knows? Trying to figure out why your son.
Well, no, not really. I mean, at one point we were, but, you know, like, because when we found out that, you know, it's history and, you know, ancestry and so on and so forth.
Right. That it can run through your family.
Yeah, that it can run through the family. So we were looking back and seeing, well, gee, where, you know.
But trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And, you know, like, my mother was came from Germany, and her, she was, they sent her over here during the First World War, so they get her out of Germany. And, you know, she was like, I don't know, 18 or whatever. And, you know, so, but her mother was not married when she had my mother. And so that was like, back then, that was like, oh, big crime, you know. but, you know, so we don't know her, my mother's side history, you know. But who knows? You know, it's just not that it really matters, you know. You know, because it really doesn't. You know, I mean, yeah, it's fine. Okay, so-and-so had it or this, that. But basically, it's how you handle it, you know. And you seem to be handling it excellently.
Definitely. You know? Things are going well.
And that's awesome.
Can I do another plug for my book?
Sure.
Just one more?
Absolutely. You can do three more if you want. I don't care.
I said, my name is Ryan Amon, A-M-A-N-N. But on Facebook, it's Ryan George Amon. So if you want to message me on Facebook to get my book, it's Ryan George Amon, A-M-A-N-N. Or you can email me at devilsrock9@yahoo.com. That's D-E-V-I-L-S-R-O-C-K, the number 9@yahoo.com.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you, Larry.
No problem at all. Have you ever looked into In Our Own Voice training?
No, I haven't. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. In Our Own Voice training is something that NAMI has on a state level and a national level, not county level.
Right.
We do have people who do it on a county level, but it's through the state.
It's bigger than that.
Right. And it's called In Our Own Voice. It's people who have mental illness who are going on with their lives in spite of it. And they get trained.
That sounds like me.
That's why I mentioned it. They get trained to give these presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And they give them all over. I have a very, very close friend of mine who does it. We call each other brothers, you know. we're that close.
That's deep.
And yeah, but he has a mental health issue. And he does In Our Own Voice training. And he's done it in schools, Rotary, you know, let's see, various meeting places, you know, churches, presentations at the hospital, et cetera, et cetera. I just mention it because it's something that I think you would enjoy doing.
I would love to do that.
And it would gets word out to people that, okay, I've got a mental illness, but I'm also writing a book. I'm also going to college. I'm also, you know, I'm not staying in my bed 24/7, you know?
Right.
And it helps people relate.
Yeah. I mean, that's an awesome idea. I love it.
And also you're young, you know, compared to me and a lot of other people like me, you're young, and it helps because you can reach out to younger people. You know, if they hear something like that from you, it means more because they can maybe get on track and, you know, get their life together. So I just mentioned it. It's, you know, you would have to do it through, you would have to reach out to NAMI New Jersey. It's NAMINewJersey.org, and it's the, you know, a website for the state of New Jersey, NAMI. And, you know, you just, you know, they ask any questions or whatever, you can write, you know, about In Our Own, it's called IOV, In Our Own Voice. In Our Own Voice. So, you know, and you have my phone number, you can, or email, you can, if you don't remember it, you can always email me. I'll definitely look into it.
I'm really interested. Because I was just thinking, when I was writing my book, one of my teachers from Hunterdon Central, which is my high school, he said, if you ever want to come back and give a speech about your book, we can rent out the auditorium and we can do that. And I never took him up on it, but I can do that, and I can do like that would be an in-your-own-voice sort of presentation. I can talk about bipolar and
right.
how it's affected me.
Right. When they do an in-our-own-voice, they do it along with a movie-type thing. It's not long, but what they do is they, you know, they have like the bad days. And on the movie or the show, they'll have three or four different people tell about their bad days. Then they will stop it, and the person giving the presentation will talk about their bad days.
Cool.
And then they would like, you know, getting help and, you know, et cetera. And it goes to like three or four different sections.
That's great, Larry.
So, you know, I just throw it out there for you in case you're interested, because I think it would be awesome to do. And, you know, you got my email. You can email me.
Definitely.
And, I'll give you the information on it and so on and so forth.
Excellent.
But, you know, I think that with what you want to do with writing and getting the word out to people and doing presentations and stuff, I think that would be an awesome way to do it. Because not only that, you'd be trained, and you can also, you know, you'd be doing it for various things, you know, and various groups. And a lot of times they'll have two people doing it together. And sometimes they don't. You know, like my friend does it a lot by himself. But
I would do it with someone.
Yeah,
I mean, especially
no, just, you know,
especially like my first couple times.
Of course.
It would be good to
of
have
course.
Someone there as a sort
right.
of buffer.
Of course.
If you forget what to say right. or you run right. out of things to say, they just step in.
Right.
Yeah.
Real quick, we got about a minute left. Why don't you give your, what do you call it, your Twitter or whatever that account was to get the book
okay.
one more time.
To get the book, you can message me on Facebook, which it's Ryan George Amann, spelled A-M-A-N-N, or you can email me at devilsrock9@yahoo.com, and it's the number 9. And if you just reach out to me, I can send a book basically anywhere in the world, and you can choose between hardcover or paperback, and I look forward to fielding your orders, and I hope you enjoy the book.
I'm so happy that you were able to come today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Larry.
And I think that it's awesome that someone your age can speak about their experiences with it and do it as freely as you did. And I really appreciate it. And I promise you, you will be back.
Thank you.
I will have you back.
Thank you. Have me back,
okay.
bro.
I will. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Larry Cartwright. And remember, folks, we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. Thank you.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
ISIS killed a local resident for killing an ISIS member. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady are in court today over the Deflategate case. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Tom Brady was cheered as he walked into the Manhattan courthouse while Roger Goodell was jeered. Judge Richard Berman had ordered both to show up for a final conference before he rules on whether Brady must serve a 4-game suspension for his role in using underinflated footballs during a playoff game last season. The NFL wants the judge to agree it handled the case appropriately, while the NFL Players Association wants the suspension nullified. Judge Berman has said he hopes to rule by Friday. Julie Walker, New York.
A judge has ejected a white supremacist from a Kansas courtroom after the man objected to jury instructions in his own murder trial. Frazier Miller told the judge that he doesn't respect the process. He is acting as his own attorney. Miller admitted he fatally shot three people at two Jewish sites in the Kansas City area in April of last year, but pleaded not guilty, calling the deaths of Jews necessary. Turns out none of his victims were Jewish.